We're holding on your Dalid Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom, by the one dot. The line begins, L'mitzvahs. We've been talking about cases where a Nazir has to keep extra days in order to grow hair. And the last thing we talked about was a case where a person is already bringing his korbanos and then becomes tamei. And what happens, we said, if a person becomes tamei during the time of his nazirus, he loses the days he counted so far and has to start all over. But when it was after the nazirus is over, then he doesn't need to do that. So now in this connection, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina, nazir shekolu lo yamam. If a nazir's term is over, so he's finished all the days of the nazirus, now already he's on the day he's bringing his korbanos. Loika ala tuma. Now at this point, if he deliberately becomes tamei, he's going to get malchus for it. We know, of course, every time if a nazir is over on any of the isurim of nazirus, then he's getting malchus. We actually talked about before that he's going to get two malchus, one for the particular thing that he did, such as becoming tamei, and the other one in general for violating his neder. But in this case, Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina says now that he already finished counting the days of his nazirus. Now that he already finished counting the days of his nazirus, then he'll still get malchus for becoming tamei. But he won't get malchus at that point if he shaves without bringing his korbanos or drinks wine, because after all, the days of the nazirus are over. Now he would, even Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina is not saying that he would lose any of the days of his nazirus because he already finished his nazirus. Tosfos points out, by the way, we did learn earlier, we touched on this in connection with the machlokas of Barpada and Rav Masna about where we learn how long nazirus is, that we learned it's 30 days and we had two different derivations of it, and Rav Masna and Barpada argued about mixtasayim kukuloi and whatever. Anyway, we mentioned there, and we're going to talk about it later on in the next perek, that if you have a person who's a nazir for 100 days, and then, so now if he becomes tamei on the 101st day, which is the day he's supposed to be bringing his korbanos, then what happens is he loses 30 days. He has to backtrack 30 days and then keep that, and only then can he bring his korbanos. No, so that's point to both of them. We actually have, we're going to have machlokas tanoim on that, where Rabbi Eliezer disagrees, but the halacha is like the chachamim. The difference is, over there, Tosfos says that There you're talking about he said nazirus for 100 days, and the same way as we learned previously, that a person is a nazir for 30 days, l'chilo, he's supposed to be bringing his korbanos the 31st day, only b'dievet if he brings him on the 30th day as a yotze, the same way over here, he's supposed to be bringing his korbanos on the 101st, so we make a gzera because it might easily be confused with the 100th day, where then d'oraisa, he'd be losing days. On the other hand, over here, we're talking about, further on. Tosfos says, in the case of 100-day nazirus, we'd be talking about, let's say, it's already the 102nd day, and he hasn't yet brought his korbanos for whatever reason. Or we could be, even Tosfos says, and this requires some explanation, Tosfos says also, if it was on the 31st day, he also wouldn't be soser, he also wouldn't lose anything. Tosfos doesn't discuss why that should be so, and Gil Yashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, refers to some other Tosfos in that seemed to say somewhat differently, but the idea would seem to be, in other words, because since Stam Nazirus Shloshim Yom, then, and we learned according to both Rabbi Masna and Barpada, in principle, as long as you don't say the number of days, the difference is, in other words, because you have, we talked about there was the distinction between whether you said a number of days, I'm a nazir for 30 days, or you just said I'm a nazir, which is automatically 30 days. That makes a difference because in terms of, can we say the d'yevet, if he were to bring his korbanos on the 30th day, would it work?
Which way would it?
If he says just I'm a nazir, but the evidence he can bring them the 30th day. But if he said I'm a nazir 30 days, then maybe not, because at least according to Barpada, you need full 30 days then. So in the same way, when he says 100 days, then we might have more reason to be machmir on him on the 101st day than if he just said I'm a nazir, and then we're talking about on the 31st day. In any case, the point is, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina is saying, not talking about him losing any days, we're just talking about in terms of now, so he's finished his days. So we have, let's say, for example, like Tosfos says, it's the 102nd day. So it's definitely his Nazirus is over, he just hasn't brought his Korbanos yet. Now the din is that a person remains a Nazir until he brings his Korbanos. We discussed yesterday, and we're going to discuss later on in the Masechta, what is it actually that makes it that now his Nazirus is officially over and he can do whatever he wants as far as the dinim of Nazirus. Is it when he brings his Korbanos or is it when he does the shaving? We said yesterday that Rabbi Eliezer would hold that until he actually shaves, he still has the Isurim of a Nazir on him. We're going to learn it later in the Masechta, as opposed to according to the Chachamim, once he brings his Korbanos, then once the blood of his Korbanos is sprinkled for him, then that's it. Then Nazirus is over, even if he hasn't shaved.
The shave means actually burning it?
It means the actual shaving. The burning is part of the mitzvah as well, but it's not that. Anyways, so now, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina is telling us then that if a person has his Nazirus is over, he hasn't yet brought his Korbanos. At this point, he's over deliberately on one of the Isurim of a Nazir. He's still also in all of them, but Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina is saying that if he shaves during that time or drinks wine, he's not Chayiv Malkus, but if he becomes Tomei, he is Chayiv Malkus. So the Gemara says, Maishna, Tuma, Deloki, why would it be different with Tuma that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina is saying that's Malkus, De Oma Kro Ko Yimei HaZiroi LaHashem, the Pasuk says all the days that he's made a neder of Nazirus to Hashem, he's not allowed to become Tomei. And the word kol would be l'rabbis yomim shel acham alois ki yomim shel lifnei alois. That would include the days after the completion of the term of Nazirus, that those would be just like the days during the term of Nazirus, and he'd get Malkus and the same lab and the same Malkus is for either one. Well, in that case, if that's where we're learning it from, in that case, he should also be chayev for shaving during that time. The Pasuk also says, kol, as far as all the days of the neder of his Nazirus, a razor shouldn't pass over his head. And that should also mean, lasas yom shalach ha-malois ki yom shalifnei malois. It should make it that the days after malois are like doing it. So why is Rabbi Yosi, let's say, for example, we take Tosfos' scenario that we're talking about on the 102nd day. So already for sure, the days are over. There's nothing to be lost in terms of days or whatever. He just hasn't brought his korbanos yet. Why are we saying that Tuma, he would still be Chayiv Malkus for, because of the word kol in connection with Tuma, he should be Chayiv Malkus for shaving also during that time, because the Pasuk says kol in connection with that. And furthermore, what about wine? Also, you have the word kol. Kol Yemei Nizrei, all the days of his Nizeros. Mikol Asher Yosem Gefen Hayayin, then he's not allowed to eat anything that comes from the grapevine. Should be the same thing. It should be that all of those days are the same, and there's Malkus for all of them. So why is Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina making a distinction?
So you're using the kol for the same kol?
Each one has its own kol. Yeah. So the answer is shiny hocha. The difference is, in this case of Tuma, the Amar Rachmana, b'timei roish nizrei. Because the Pasuk also goes on to say, what happens if he becomes Tomei, and then he has to bring the Korbanos Tuma and start over again. And the expression in the Pasuk is, the crown of Nazirus of his head will become Tomei. So therefore, we can daushin from that, mishin nizrei tololoi b'roisho. That when the person's Nazirus depends on what's going on in his head, in other words, that at this point his Nazirus is over, all that's left is that he hasn't yet shaved his head, then we're saying that the Nazirus is still in effect, and therefore that the Isser is still in effect. Within that you'd have the machlokas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, what needs to be done in order for him to be able to be allowed to shave and to be able to become Tomei and not get Malkus? Is it bringing his Korbanos or is it shaving his hair? Because the Pasuk uses those extra words, v'timei roish nizrei, we should understand from that even when you have all that's left of his Nazirus is the fact that on his own body is that he hasn't shaved, because he hasn't brought his Korbanos, because the shaving goes together with the Korbanos, then nevertheless he'd still be chayiv malchus for Tuma, but not for the other ones.
Not for
drinking wine or shaving his hair.
What makes this one different than all those?
So that's what we're saying, because it says, because the Pasuk says, V'timei roish nizrei, implying that you can have a person who's a Nazir only in that his head still hasn't been shaved, And then at that point, the Timei, if he becomes Tomei, then you still have consequences. And in that case, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina is saying that in that case, the consequences are that he's going to get Malchus for it. He's still considered a Nazir as far as that, but as far as the other ones, he's still also to do them, but no Malchus.
And this come Tomei means that he did some...
It means he did amazing. Deliberately. We're talking about Mason. Malchus is only going to be Mason. He's only going to be Mason, of course, yeah. So the Gemara says, Mason, though, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Nozir Shekodol Lo Yomav, a Nozir whose term is over, all the days have been finished off, and he hasn't yet brought his Korbanos, according to the Chachamim, or shaved, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Also, the Galeach Felishtis Yain or Lutamel Mesim, he's still also to do any of the things that a Nozir is not allowed to do, shave or drink wine or become Tamimes. Then he does absorb the 40 blows of Malchus, which is the Gemara standard term for that he gets Malchus. Yeah. So we see that all three of them are the same thing. And the Gemara says, you're right, Tiufta, that is a clear contradiction against Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, and the halacha is not like him. Therefore, the halacha is a nazir after his nazirus is over. If he hasn't yet brought his korbanos, according to the chachamim, that's the key thing that needs to be done for his nazirus to be over, then he's going to get malchus no matter which one of the ones he's over on. For that reason, by the way, you have nowadays a person who would become a nazir is going to end up being a nazir for the rest of his life. Even if he says, I'm a nazir for only 30 days, he can't bring the korbanos. He can't bring the korbanos. And until he brings the korbanos, he's still considered a full-fledged nazir, even though he's not counting the days of nazirus. That's why you can't do nazirus nowadays, right? By the way, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if the halacha were like Rabbi Eliezer is saying that the key thing is whether he shaves, but the shaving itself actually is done in connection with the bringing of the korbanos. You can't just shave at random and say, I'm done. You have later on in the sechta, we're going to talk about, the preferred thing is that all three korbanos should be shechted and the blood sprinkled, and then he shaves. B'dieved, we're going to say over there that you can shave after one or two of the korbanos have been brought, but nevertheless, you still have to have the korbanos being brought in order to do the shaving. So what it is Rebbe Eliezer is adding to what the Chachamim are saying. The Chachamim are saying all you need is the korbanos being brought, and then at that point, once they've been brought, you can then your nazirus is over. According to Rebbe Eliezer, you have one more thing you need to do at that point, namely the shave, and then your nazirus is over.
So
according to him, it would be Makkah, right? Okay. Mishnah says, now we had the previous Mishnah where we talked about this matter of a person makes a neder of nazirus that I'll be a nazir, and then first he says I'll be a nazir, and then he says I'll be a nazir when I have a son, or the other way around, he says I'll be a nazir when I have a son, and I'll be a nazir. In those cases, we were talking about nazirus of just the regular nazirus of 30 days. Now, Mishnah says, "Hareini nazir l'chshehei bein." Now, if the person says, "I'll be a nazir when I have a son," the nazir meya yom, and I'll also be a nazir of 100 days, where again, that second nazirus on the face of it has to begin now. And we talked about previously what Tosfos says, that you can't necessarily say now in the Gemara that we learned, in the Gemara we learned yesterday, we discussed Rava's question, where a person says, I'll be a nazir 20 days from now, and I'll be a nazir for 100 days, whether the 100 days begins now or whether it maybe begins later, only later on. The difference is there, you know that the 100-day nazirus is not going to be completed before the 20 days are over. Here, Tosfos says, you don't know. It could conceivably be that you'll finish the entire 100-day nazirus before the baby is ever born. Anyway, so what happens? So now what happens is, So he starts counting his own nazirus. So now, Nolad Ben Ad Shivim, if he has a son up to 70 days from when he started his nazirus of 100 days, Loi Hifsid Klum, then he doesn't lose anything in the sense, now, what does it mean, Loi Hifsid Klum? So now there's two major ways of learning among the Rishonim what's going on over here. Tosfos learns, and the Rosh brings this as a first possibility, that what happens over here actually is that 30 days doing his nazirus can actually do double duty for both of them. What will happen is, in other words, that so he'll start counting his own nazirus, then in the middle his son is born. The 30 days that he does for the nazirus that he pledged for when his son is born, those run concurrently with the nazirus that he was doing until now. So let's say, for example, the baby would have been born, let's say on the 50th day of his nazirus. So then what would happen is that 50th day is also the first day of the son's nazirus, and the 51st day is also the second day of the son's nazirus, and so on and so forth. until the end, until he finishes the Nezirus regarding his son's regarding the fact that his son was born. He finishes that. He finishes that on the 79th day, on the 79th day. The 80th day would be the day. The 80th day would be the day that he brings the Korbanos, and then he would finish off. And then he'd finish off his own Nezirus.
Like bring Korbanos in between. He doesn't break the cycle.
So that's the thing. Tosfos learns actually what will happen is, according to Tosfos, he won't bring Korbanos in the middle of there. At the end, he'll bring a double set of Korbanos. But the point is, in other words, altogether, according to Tosfos, he'll only have had to keep 100 days of Nezirus, not 130. And Tosfos discusses the Tosfos in for this Mishnah are printed earlier on your Gimel Amud Beis because the printer was messed up. But anyway, Tosfos says that it's one thing in the previous Mishnah, the Nezirus of his own and the Nezirus of his son, that one is not completely included within the other. One of them ends after one of them. Each one of them ends the Nezirus of the Nezirus of his son ends the Nezirus of his. Neither one is included within the other because each one is only 30 days. So therefore, there's not enough. So therefore, we can talk about. So Tosfos had said, in fact, if, for example, if he made such a neder and the baby was born on the very same day that he made this double neder, then yes, the same thing. You count 30 days and it would count for both of them. But if, let's say, the baby was born the next day, then or any day after that, then no, then that's when we had in the previous Mishnah that you would have to break off one and then count the one for the baby and then resume your own. So here, though, the point is that the Nezirus regarding the baby, which is 30 days, is fully included within the Nezirus of the father. So therefore, within his own Nezirus. So therefore, the result is all he needs is 100 days, not 130. And of those 100 days, 30 of them are doing double duty for himself and for his own Nezirus and for his son's Nezirus. That's how Tosfos learns. The Rosh brings that, but then he says another way of understanding it is. That no, you don't have days that can count as double duty for both of them. But what it means is that if the baby is born before the 70th day, then fine. So he's gonna break off counting the zeros for his son. Now, when he finishes that one, there's still at least 30 days left to grow hair. Therefore, he doesn't have to count any extra days. According to the Rosh, he will have to count 130 days. According to the Rosh, he will have to count 130 days. So it's going to be similar to what we had before, where he's going to have, let's say, 60 days of his own Nezirus, 30 for his son, and then another 40 to finish off the original Nezirus. And then bring the Korbanos. So the Rambam writes somewhat similarly. So then Tosfos earlier brings up those are Yerushalmi that seems to imply like that. So according to that way of understanding it, when we say if the baby was born up to 70, lo yifsid klum would mean, because if the baby is born after the 70th day, you're going to need extra days that you're going to need to append to the Nezirus at the end for Gidol Seir in order to be able to grow that extra hair, because you need 30 days from one Tiglachas Tara to the other one, from one shaving of Tara to the other one.
Yeah, but what if it just continues until that, if the baby stays unplucked, we're going to include it in the middle.
First of all, that's only according to Tosfos that you can include it in the middle. No, so what happens is, let's say according to the Rosh, according to the Rosh's second understanding, let's say the baby was born on the 80th day. So far you counted 80 days. Now you're breaking off, you're doing 30 days for the son. Now you have 20 days left of your original Nezirus. 20 days is not enough to grow hair that you can shave for Nezirus. So therefore the result is the Mishnah uses the expression hifsid or soister, that he's losing or that he's canceling, meaning because he's going to have to keep extra days in order to grow the hair.
We don't have someone. How many days do you need to grow here?
30.
Oh, complete 30 days?
Yeah, complete 30 days, yeah. So.
But if he started growing here, so he has enough here, but he lost out. Is that 12? We don't know about 12. It takes 12 days to restart.
No, not 12 days. No, I don't know where you're getting that from. Yeah. Okay, anyway. So, Noilele Ben Ad Shivim. So, if he has a baby up to 70 days, or including the 70th day, Lohif Sid Klum, then he didn't lose anything. So again, according to Tosfos, what that means is that he's able to have that he's able to have that that 30 days within his Nezirus do double duty for the baby and for himself. And according to the Rosh, the vote would be that he doesn't have to include any, he doesn't have to add any extra days at the end in order to grow hair. La'achar shivim soiser shivim. If it's after 70 days, then he loses 70. Now, we don't literally mean that he loses 70 days. Tosfos, in fact, takes out the word shivim and says that it would just be la'achar shivim soiser. He loses something, meaning, in other words, because now he has to do extra days, in the sense that, again, according to Tosfos, had the baby been born up to and including the 70th day, he could have done altogether only 100 days of Nezirus. Now, like this, he has to do extra days because the son's Nezirus is not completely included within his own. So therefore, the result would be he'd have to have 105 or 110 or whatever number it is of days. So in that sense, Soiser, but Tosfos takes out the word Shivim, because what do you mean? He's not losing 70 days. According to the Rosh, the vote would be that Soiser ad Shivim, he loses back to the 70th day, in the sense that it's as if he has to rewind the clock to the 70th day and do 30 extra and do 30 days of Nezirus after he finishes with the one of his son. So however many days has passed since the 70th day, he needs to rewind those and add those at the end.
So you have the Tosfos, you have the Rosh, and then you have the Gemara. So
they're explaining the Gemara. They're not arguing on the Gemara. They're just explaining it.
Right. So the only one of them learns that you could, if you have room in between, you could be yotze the 30 days of your own plus 30 days.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah.
And the Rosh explains it.
So the Rosh is explaining the Gemara differently. He's saying the Gemara never means to say, the Mishnah and the Gemara never mean to say that you can have 30 days that will do double duty for both of them. According to, in other words, plain and simple, in other words, if the baby was born, let's say, after 50 days or after 60 days, according to Tosfos, all you need is total 100 days of Nezirus. According to the Rosh, according to Tosfos, when we need 130 days is only if the baby was born, only if the baby was born later on, when you're close to the end of your 100 days. According to the Rosh, you're always going to need 130 days regardless. Right. And in some cases, you may need more. That's the thing. According to the Rosh, you may conceivably need more because, again, suppose the baby was born on the 80th day. You had so far 80 of your own. Now you have 30 for the baby. Now you're up to 110. But you can't just say 20 days after that, I'm done and I'm bringing my karbonis, because 20 days is not enough for Gidul Seir. You're going to need an extra 10 days. The result is that according to the Rosh's understanding, in that 10, the Rambam says similarly, you're going to need, in that case, 140 days total. Yeah.
Okay, but if the Rosh is explaining the Gemara is saying that there is a case where you could do double duty here. Saying
no, the Gemara is not saying that. That's Tosfos explaining that. The Gemara is just saying that if the baby is born up to the 70th day, lo hifsid klum, he didn't lose anything. So now, according to Tosfos, lo hifsid klum, in the sense that until you get to that point, the maximum number of days he's going to have to do is 100. According to the Rosh, and no matter when, he's always going to be doing minimum of 130, and it may be more. La'achar shivim, he's going to have to do more than 130 days.
Right, but not 100, according to
the
Rosh.
According to the Rosh, you would never have what you're doing, only 100, right. So, she'ein teglachas pochas m'shloshim yoyim, because you can never have a haircut for a nozer finishing his nezirus and then finishing batara when it's less than 30 days later, so you need a separate nezirus for that. The fact that the Mishnah uses that expression "tanchi glachas pachas mishloshim yoyim" is one of the questions that the Rosh uses against Tosfos. According to Tosfos's explanation, why is the Mishnah mentioning that point? It doesn't seem to be relevant. The point is whether you can say that 30 days will count double duty for both of them. What does that have to do with glachas pachas mishloshim yoyim? And that's one of the proofs that for the Rosh's explanation that we're not saying that any days do double duty. We're talking about, does he have to rewind any days or not? And it'll depend how close to the end of the 100 days it is. So the Gemara starts.
So the controversial question, if it's going to be 130 or if
it's, it's going to be 104, 130 or more. According to Tosfos, it's going to be 100 or it's going to be more right now. Okay, so the Gemara says, Omar Rav, Yom Shivim Ola Lakan Lakan. The 70th day itself will count for both. It'll count for his own Nezirus and for his son's Nezirus. So let's say, in other words, So if the baby was born on the actual 70th day, the Rav is saying that it'll count, that actually he'll only need 29 more days for the Nezirus of his son. And then in that case, he'll actually be able to bring his Karbonus on the 100th day. Unlike a regular Nazir of 100 days, who we said before is supposed to wait until the 101st day. But here, what we're saying is, in effect, we count the 70th day as though it was double. because it's the 70th day of his own Nazirus. It's also the first day of his son's Nazirus. So now, therefore, day 70 is also day one. Day 71 is also day two, and so forth. Working that out, then it comes out. Day 99 is also day 30 of the Nazirus that he pledged for the birth of his son. So now, on the next day, the 100th day, he can bring his korbanos. This is what Rav is saying, that usually midrabbanon we would say that he has to wait until the next day, but here, Tosfos explains here, since relative to his son's Nazirus, it's already more than over, because it's already the 31st day, then we allow him, again, this is Tosfos going according to the Oshita, that the last 29 or 30 days have counted double duty for both, have done double duty for both Nazirus. So now when comes the 100th day, which is the 31st day for the Nazirus of his son, then that's good enough to allow him to even midrabbanon to shave and bring his korban, to bring his korbanos and shave, even though it's only the 100th day of his original Nazirus. So he's not interrupting, because midaraisa he could bring the korbanos on the 100th day. Only midrabbanon is usually done. What? It's kind of mixed the same color, but it's more than that. It's saying that the 70th day actually counts double. The Rosh would have to have a different understanding of that. It would mean, in other words, that
we have 100,
but that 100th day, according to Tosfos, is also the 31st. Yeah. So according to the second explanation, it would mean he started on the 70th day, he started Nazirus of his son. Now on the 100th day, then he does his Nazirus. And then according to the Rosh, afterwards, he's resuming his original Nazirus. Because according to the Rosh, you don't have 30 days that did double duty. He still needs more Nazirus after that. But the point is, in other words, that he can... Yeah, but well, it's another 30, oh, okay, another 30 days. Okay.
Even according to I understand that he finished his child's due days, but he still didn't finish the 100th. He took two different
diseases. No, but that doesn't matter. According to Tosfos, again, midaraisa, the 100th day, you could already bring your korbanos. Only midrabbanon, I'm saying, you should wait till the 101st day.
Since
in this case, the 100th happens to also be the 31st day of a different Nazirus, then therefore it can count. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Tanan,
why do Rabbanon have him wait until...
We learned earlier, because you could have a case where a person says, I'll be a nazir full 30 days, where there we can't say mikta sayim kakoloi. There he has to bring his korbanos the next day, or in this case, a full 100 days, and therefore he has to bring them the next day. So therefore, the Chachamim said, as a general rule, a person says, I'm a nazir 100 days, we're always going to consider it as though he said full 100 days, and therefore make him wait till the next day. But they're not mixing.
Why they made it a general rule? Because it's not a general case that he includes the next day. Why did they make it a general rule?
It's general enough. It could happen that it's easily confusable where a person says 100 days. It's very easily confusable with full 100 days, and therefore the Chacham made a blanket rule that will cover both of them. But in this case, in this unusual case over here, where the 100th day is also the 31st day of a different Nazirus, then Rav says the Chacham will allow him to get away with it. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see if that fits with what Rav is saying. The Mishnah says, no, the loy ad shivim, loy hifsid klum. If the baby is born up to the and including the 70th day, he hasn't lost anything. Now, v'isak radach o'lo l'kan l'kan, if you're going to tell me that if the baby is born on the 70th day, then he actually gains a day, not only loy hifsid, it guri it mitgar, then he's actually gaining. So why is the Mishnah using the expression loy hifsid, implying he doesn't lose any days? What that would also imply, he doesn't gain anything. It should be using the expression that he's gaining something if the baby is born on the 70th day, namely that he gets to finish his 100 day Nazirus a day early. So how does that fit with what Rav is saying? So the Gemara says, no, Ela Bedinu Deloy Listni Ad Shivim. So the fact is, you could answer that you're right. The Mishnah really should not have to have said Ad Shivim. It should have said that he doesn't lose anything. In fact, the Mishnah could have used the expression that he gains something. Or Mishum Dekatoni Sefer Acha Shivim, Soiso Shivim. But because the Mishnah continues that you have a case where the baby is born after the 70th day, and because of that, he loses some days. According to Tosfos, what we mean is he loses in the sense of instead of being able to do only 100 days, now he needs to do, let's say, 110. And according to the Rosh, the vote would be that he can't just do 130 days. Now he needs 140 or whatever. So in that case, he's actually losing. Katani Reisha, Katani Reisha Shivim. So therefore, the Reisha also mentions that up to 70, he doesn't lose. But it's true that according to Rab, you could actually have where he's gained. There could be a case where he's gaining where the baby was born exactly on the 70th day. It wouldn't work, by the way, if the baby was born, let's say, the 69th day. It wouldn't work because then the 31st day of that is only going to be the 99th day of the longer Nazirus. You can't put Kobonus on the 99th day for sure. So then he's not really gaining anything. But when the baby is born exactly on the 70th is Rab's scenario. So fine, the Mishnah is not contradicting that. The Mishnah is not addressing that case because the Mishnah is focusing on the case where he loses versus where he doesn't lose.
This is why there's exception because it's so hard to find exactly
the 70th. Okay, so the Gemara says, Toshma, mi sefer. Fine, then let's prove against Rab from the sefer of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, Nolad achar shivim, that if the baby was born after the 70th day, sosa shivim, then he loses 70 days, which again, according to Tosfos, you don't have the second word shivim at all, just soso, he loses something. According to the Rosh, the vote would be soso ad shivim, that he loses back to the 70th day. We have to rewind to the 70th day. Now, according to Rav, why should that be? According to Rav, even if the baby was born on the 71st day, you're not losing anything. Because the same way if the baby is born on the 70th day, then the 100th day is also the 31st. Therefore, you can bring your korbanos then. The same way if the baby is born on the 71st, well, then the 31st of it is the 101st day. Good, that's also the 101st day of your original, of your bigger Nazirus. So therefore, you bring two sets of korbanos on that day. What's the problem? There you don't even have a Chachamim giving you an exception to the rule and allowing you to bring on the 100th. So according to Rab, how could you say always that if the baby is born after 70, then you're losing out? According to Rab, you're not necessarily. The Gemara answers, my achar. The answer is the word achar in our Mishnah could mean achar, achar. You have three times in the word over here, the word achar, three times in a row, the word achar, but we have to punctuate it. My achar. What do we mean by achar? Achar, achar. We actually mean the day after, the day after. The Rabbi Akiva Eger refers to Goyin Ashas. The Gemara does the same kind of thing in Nida. You have a din over there in the halachas of Taras and Mishpacha, where also the Gemara says over there that the word achar may not mean right after, it may mean sometime later. So the same way over here, maybe when the Mishnah says achar, you're right, it doesn't mean the 71st day, it means the 72nd day. Well, if the baby is born the 72nd day, then you are losing out because what happens? The first day of the baby's Nazirus is the 72nd day of your original Nazirus. The second day is the 73rd and so forth. The 30th comes out to the 101st day. You can't yet bring your Korbanos then because it's only, you can't yet bring your Korbanos then. You have to wait until the set. You have to wait until 102. You have to wait until 102 of the longer Nazirus, which is now going to also be 31 of the shorter Nazirus.
So he's losing two days,
yeah. So therefore, so maybe that's what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah is not necessarily addressing the case where the baby is born on the 71st. Maybe in fact, then you're not losing, you're not gaining anything in that case, but you're not losing anything either. So the Gemara says, Avo acha mamash mai. So what are you telling me then? According to that explanation, that if the baby was actually born on the 71st day, hachinami delay sasar, are you telling me that he's not losing any days? If that's the case, my iriyat turning nolad ad shivim lehifsid klum. Why is the Mishnah saying if the baby is born up to 70 days, he hasn't lost anything? After the achar shivim nami. The fact is, according to the way you're explaining Rab, even if the baby is born on the 71st day, nami ha'amet lois saser, then also you're saying he's not losing anything. In the case when it's born on the 71st, he doesn't lose anything because then he can bring his korbanos on the 101st day, which is also the 31st day.
Oh.
Yeah. So therefore, it comes out there, we have to say that the achar of our Mishnah means literally achar, the 71st. Already, if the baby is born on the 71st day, then you're losing out something because now we can't say, like Rav is saying, that you can bring your korbanos at a time that really was only the 100th of the previous one, and you don't have to lose out anything, and you could even gain something. No, if it's born the 71st day, you are already losing something because otherwise the Mishnah wouldn't have mentioned the cutoff point of 70 days. It would have said, if anything, it would have said a cutoff point of 71 days. So v'chein masnisim l'rav shmamina. So therefore, yes, indeed, it comes out that from the Mishnah we see about Rav that we've shlugged him up, which would usually the expression with that would be tshuvta. This is one of those examples of losh nedarim mishuna that in nedarim the Gemara uses unusual terminology. With that said, though, Rabbeinu Azriel has an explanation on this, that he says those words, v'chein masnis and l'rav shmamino, are actually the introduction to the next question of the Gemara. The fact is, Rav knows our Mishnah, so he can't be knowingly contradicting it. So where did he get his opinion from? If we're saying not only that our Mishnah contradicts him, but even before that, we said it would be a big doichek to understand his shita according to the Mishnah, where did he get it from? So now, according to Rabbeinu Azriel, the Gemara is starting with the question, the fact is that Rav does understand the Mishnah that way as well. He does ultimately understand our Mishnah the straightforward way, that it means to make the difference between 70 and 71. Well then, in that case, where is Rav getting this shitta from, since he obviously didn't get it from our Mishnah? So the question now is, so again, according to everybody else, the Gemara is now finishing off and saying, good, we've slugged up Rav. And now the next question is, well, where did Rav get his opinion from? According to Rabbeinu Azriel, the Gemara is saying, well, given that Rav himself knows our Mishnah, then where is he getting his opinion from? So for Rav, if the baby was born on the 70th day, you gain one day in that case. So for Rav, Kaman Omer Shmaite, who is Rav saying his statement according to? If he's not getting it from our Mishnah, where is he getting it from? So the Gemara is going to try to draw an analogy first with the Dinim of Avelos. Ilema ka Abba Shol. Can we say that he's saying like the way Abba Shol says? The Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah in Moed Katan, we learned it last year. If a person buries his relative 3 days or more before Yom Tov, then when Yom Tov comes, then Shiva is canceled and he's allowed to do all the things that he wouldn't have been able to do during Shiva. The halacha, by the way, Tosfos points out, that's only a point of his shamah. The halacha is actually going to need 3 days. Even if the burial took place an hour, a very short time before Yom Tov, then Shiva is, then you get up from Shiva and Shiva is canceled by Yom Tov, yes. Shmoni Yom Kodim L'Regel, then if the burial took place 8 or more days before the Regel, but the Memenu Xeras Shloshim, then the Yom Tov cancels Shloshim and he doesn't complete Shloshim after the Yom Tov. So you have the various things that he wouldn't have been allowed to do during Shloshim, laundry and ironing his clothes and so forth. Now, during Shloshim, there's certain rules
laundry 30 days?
Yeah. No, that's Shiva is, you have more things. He's not even allowed to bathe. After Shiva, he's allowed to bathe, but he's still not allowed to do laundry yet. Anyway, yeah. So again, Yom Tov cancels Shiva, cancels Shloshim, and the Braisa continues. Umutu the Saper Erev Haregel. He's allowed to even take a haircut on Erev Yom Tov, the covered Yom Tov, even though until Yom Tov begins, Shloshim has not been canceled. And normally he wouldn't be able to take a haircut during that time, but now the covered Yom Tov, he's allowed to. Yeah. The im loy siper erev harego, but the braisa continues, if he did not take a haircut erev yom tov, also the saper acharego, he will be also to take a haircut after the yom tov, because, in other words, why are we saying that shloshim is canceled, the tanakama of the braisa is saying, only because of the covet of yom tov? Well, since he didn't show covet to the yom tov, he didn't end up taking a haircut, then therefore the yom tov is not effective, and shloshim still has to continue after the regel then.
Or the whole shloshim, or just that we still got the haircuts? No,
well, whatever restrictions of shloshim, including haircuts, and laundry, and whatever, yeah.
So I said that the Yom Tov breaks the shloshim also.
That's the thing, according to the Tanakhama, only if he actually showed before Yom Tov that he's ready to break off shloshim. But Abba Shol says, and the halacha is like him, because in general, in the Dinim of Avelos, we always go according to the opinion that's Mekel. So Abba Shol, Afilu loy siper kodim haregel, even if he didn't take a haircut before the Yom Tov, mutar l'saper achar regel, he's allowed to take a haircut after the Yom Tov. Shekashem shemitzvah shloshim vatelas zeras shiva, just as keeping the mitzvahs of Avelos for 3 days, according to the Shammai, is mevatel shiva, and it doesn't matter whether he did anything after those 3 days to show that shiva is over, kach mitzvah shiva vatelas zeras shloshim, the same way, keeping the mitzvahs of shiva is mevatel all by itself, the gzera of shloshim, even if he didn't actually take a haircut. Tosfos points out, in other words, that Abba Shol is disagreeing with the Chachamim on 2 points. Number one, he's saying that you don't need 8 days, 7 days are enough. So even if the seventh day, even if the last day of shiva itself is Erev Yom Tov, that's still good enough to cancel Shloshim, because Mitzvah Pekuloi. Second of all, that it doesn't need to be like the Tanakhama had said, that you actually need to take a haircut to demonstrate that you're ready to be done with Shloshim. Even if you didn't, automatically it gets canceled and you can do all these things after Yom Tov. Yeah. So again, Abishol is saying this example of mixa same kakula. So now you're going to say, so my time of the Abishol. Now, why would Abishol be saying, so Rav figures then that why would Abishol be saying that even the fact that only the last day of Shiva was on Erev Yom Tov, that itself is enough to cancel Shloshim. Lav Mishim because Sava Shvi Ola Lakan Lakan. Wouldn't it be because Abishol holds that the seventh day counts for both? It counts as the last day of Shiva and as the first day of Shloshim. And now that you've had at least part of Shloshim before Yom Tov, then Yom Tov can cancel it. So therefore, so we see that exactly like what Rav is saying, where you have the 70th day can count double duty for one Nezirus and for the other. Well, if that's where Rav is getting it from, the Gemara says, Dilma ad kan lakama Abishol al ba'avelus zayin d'rabbanan. Still though, maybe Abishol is only talking that you can do such a kula only when it comes to the avelus of Shiva and Shloshim, which are d'rabbanan. Midaraisa, you have the concept of avelus only on the day when the person passed away. So the Gemara discusses in a number of places that everything after that, you have a machlokas we're showing him what about if the person hasn't been buried yet, whether avelus is still daraisa or only derabanan over there. But the point is, after the burial, definitely the whole concept of Shiva and Shloshim is only derabanan. We have a smachtas for it in the pasuk. And we have, for one thing, we find the pasuk says that Yosef made a 7-day mourning period for Yaakov, but that's before Matan Torah, and Ein Lamedim Kodei Matan Torah. We can't learn halachas from that period of Jewish history. So therefore, so the result is the whole concept that you have to keep Shiva and you have to keep Shloshim and you have different restrictions during that time is all derabanan. So fine, things derabanan. Abishol can tell us that you can have Yom Shvi Ola Lakan Ola Kam. The seventh day does double duty.
Right.
But maybe not by a Nazir, where the rules of a Nazir are Daraisa. Now, the Rosh points out, now one explanation we said before of what Rav means about the 70th day doing double duty, we said one possibility is all he means is that you're bringing your Korbanos on a day when Daraisa, you could have brought them, and only Drabanon, we were saying you're supposed to wait, because we're saying ordinarily Drabanon, you're supposed to wait for the 101st day. Here, we're giving him a break and allowing him to bring the Korbanos on the 100th day, but that's the day that Daraisa, you could have brought the Korbanos to begin with. So therefore, in that case, Rav is not taking away anything Daraisa. Nevertheless, the Rosh says, fine, but still, the basic concept of Nezirus is Daraisa. Fine, this particular detail is a detail of the Rabbanan, but the whole concept of Nezirus is Daraisa. So how can we be so makel and say that and say that the rule that Abishol says about Avelus will also work for that? So that's not a proof that Rav got his opinion from that. Okay, so the Gemara says, rather let's say differently. Ela Rav de Omakir Abyeist. Rather, we can answer that Rav is saying his opinion like Rabbi Yossi in a din daraisa. Now, we have a concept in halacha called shemeres yom keneged yom, also called a zavak tana, a woman who had a flow of blood for one day or for 2 days, not during her yemei nida. If it's during her yemei nida, then she's tomei for 7 days regardless. Nowadays, of course, we do all these dinim much differently, but these are the original dinim daraisa. So if she had outside during the 11 days, there's a halacha l'moshe b'sinai, there's an 11-day period between one cycle of nida and the next one, where if she has a flow of blood from her uterus during that time, she becomes a zava. She becomes a zava. If it's only 1 or 2 days, she's called a zava ktana. She's also called shemeres yom keneged yom. She needs to have one clean day. She needs to have one fully clean day with no blood, and then at that point she can tovel and she's tahor. So she had the flow, let's say on Sunday, so Monday needs to be a tahor day, and then she tovels and so forth. Similarly, if it was Sunday and Monday, then she'd need to have Tuesday as a tahor day. If it was Sunday on Monday and Tuesday, then she's a zavah gdola, then she needs 17 days. Anyway, so we're going to bring a proof to, we're going to say that Rav got his opinion from what Rabbi Yossi says in that connection. Tanya Rabbi Yossi, Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom Sheshoch Vizoku Aleha B'Sheni Shalah. Suppose that a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, so let's say on the second day, which is the day after the Re'iyah, so she had a flow on your Gimel Nissen, then your Dalad Nissen, sometime during the day she toiveled. A Nida, by the way, has to toivel at night, a Zava and most Tmeim can toivel during the day. So now, so she tovled during the day of Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, and at that point, then they shechted sheshochta v'zoku aleha b'shei nishlah. They shechted the Korban Pesach on her behalf and sprinkled the blood. And the idea should have been that if everything had gone well, then that night she'd be able to eat the Korban Pesach because she tovled on the 14th. She has head of Shemesh once the she has head of Shemesh once once it becomes nightfall going into Pesach. Good, now she's completely tohu and she can eat kodesh. But v'achakach rasa, later on the 14th, she had another flow of blood. So now she's tomei. Harezo eina echelas. So now she can't eat from the korban Pesach. But Rabbi Yossi says, "Ktura melasas Pesach sheni." She is also potter from making a Pesach sheni, even though she didn't eat from the first one. So now let's analyze my time with Rabbi Yossi. Why would Rabbi Yossi say she's potter? I mean, after all, it comes out then that she was tomei. And if she can't eat the korban, that's for sure. But shouldn't it come out that, in other words, the fact that she had a flow later on the 14th of Nisan, retroactively, it means that she was tomei that day. So therefore, so when they shecht with the korban, we should consider as though she was already tomei. And the fact is, Rabbi Yossi is saying that not so. Lav mishum b'kasavim miktaseim k'kuloi. Wouldn't it be because Rabbi Yossi holds miktaseim k'kuloi? And therefore, so it comes out that even though she didn't keep the whole day of the 14th, she kept part of it, and that already counts as a yom tohor. Now, when she became tomei later on in the day, then it's not considered that it's a continuation of what she had yesterday. It's considered a whole new tumah. So the words we have in the Gemara are mimai, that the Gemara asks back, well, how do we know? But maybe it's because he holds mikanola bohu matame. The Mefarish has that girsa. And he's saying, because the Gemara is saying, maybe you could understand his svara that way, or maybe you could understand it, that he's saying it's not that it's the same kikuloi, but that he's saying that's a new tumor that began now. According to the Rosh and according to Tosfos, we take out the four words, and also Agoris Agura points out based on them, it should be taken out. We take out the four words, Mimai V'Dumer Shum D'Kasavar. We're not asking back, we're explaining that he says, Miktasein Kekuloi, and the result is, Mikanola Bohu Mitame, that the tumor is only from now on, it's a new tumor, it's not a tumor retroactive to the beginning of the day. So therefore, in effect, then it would come out that we're saying that that day of the 14th of Nisan breaks up, in effect, into 2 days. One, which is the Yom Tohar to cover her previous Ziva, and another one, which becomes a Yom Tomei. So we see then that one day can be broken up into two, which would be like, and that's a Din D'Oraisa. So therefore, Rab could be getting from there that the same way the one day, the 70th day, can be broken up into two, one to count for one Nezirus and one to count for the other. But the Gemara asks, so me sober Rabbi Yossi Hochi, does Rabbi Yossi hold that the Tumah is only Mikanul Abba, that it's not a continuation of the previous Tumah? But Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi, I mean, the same Rabbi Yossi says, Zov Baal Shteirius. Now let's turn from a Zova to a Zov. Now a Zov, a male who has Ziva, the rule with him is, the first time he has Ziva, it's considered just as though he was a Baal Keri. So then if nothing else happens after that, then fine. He toivels, he has head of Shemesh and he's tohu like any other Baal Keri. If he has two times of Ziva, then he becomes a Zov. He's metame, anything that he sits on or leans on or what have you. He doesn't have to bring he needs seven clean days. He has to tovel at the end of the seven clean days, but he doesn't bring a Korb. And if it happens three times, then in addition, he has to bring a Korb. So now, suppose Zov Baal Shteirius, suppose he had already two flows of Ziva. Sheshochta Rezoku Olav Vashvii. So now he has to count seven clean days. So now, suppose that his seventh day came out on Erev Pesach. So his Ziva was earlier in Nisan. Then he starts counting seven clean days, the 8th through the 14th of Nisan. The 14th is his seventh clean day. And again, if he doesn't have a Ziva any time during the rest of that day, then he'll be good. That night he'll have Erev Shemesh. He'll be able to eat from the Korban Pesach. V'chein, and similarly, Rabbi Yossi continues, Shemer Siyem K'neged Yoyim Sheshoch D'Vizoku Aleha. A Shemer Siyem K'neged Yoyim, like we said before, who needs one Tohu day, and they shechted and sprinkled the blood on her behalf. V'achavkach Ro'u, and later on that day, they saw a flow that makes them Tomei, blood for the woman, Ziva for the man. Afal Pishim Atamin Mishkav Moshav, then even though we say that Lamafreya, that even after Matama Mishkav Moshav Lamafreya, even though retroactively the Matama Mishkav Moshav, in other words, any chair that they sat on or bed that they laid on or what have you, from the beginning of that day, retroactively is going to be Tomei. So you have, in other words, let's say this is Zog. So he had sat on a chair the morning of Erev Pesach, which was supposed to be a seventh clean day. Now later that day, they're shechting the Korban Pesach for him. Later that day, towards the end of the day, he has another flow of Ziva, and therefore that undoes his 7 days and he has to start all over again. So we say that the chair that he sat on earlier in the morning, earlier in the day, retroactively becomes Tomei, because now it turns out that all along he was a Zav. So therefore, nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi says, Pturin and Melasas Pesach Sheni. Nevertheless, we say that they're potter from making Pesach Sheni, because we see they were already Yotze with the first Pesach. So we see, in other words, that Rabbi Yossi is saying that the Tuma, in fact, goes retroactively. Only as far as the current Pesach is he saying that they're potter for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain in a couple of lines. But you're telling me that Rabbi Yossi is saying, so you're telling me there's two ways of understanding Rabbi Yossi's opinion. One is to say Miktsaseyem Kikoloi, and to say that the day, in effect, is split up into 2 days, a Tohar day and a day when there was Tuma, and those, we treat them as though they were separate days, and Rav could get his opinion from that. But we're saying that Rabbi Yossi would say, if we learn that way, then we're saying that Rabbi Yossi is saying that we actually split up the day. But we see Rabbi Yossi is saying, as far as Tumah, we don't split up the day. We consider that the Tumah that happened later in the day extends retroactively to the beginning of the day. So the Gemara answers, "My l'mafreya midrabanan." You know what? When Rabbi Yossi says that the Tumah extends the mafreya, that it extends retroactively, is only drabanan. So you're right. In Torah, they would have been Torah because part of the day passed and mixed the same with Kuloi, and we can split up the day into two, like Rav is saying. But Midrabanan, and therefore the Tumah is only something new which shouldn't affect the earlier part of the day. But Midrabanan was saying that it does affect the earlier part of the day, and therefore that, and then that it does, Midrabanan does affect the earlier part of the day, and therefore that, that we're going to say that the chair that he sat on is Tomei Midrabanan. The Tzlach, by the way, points out, Noda Behuda points out that the previous Braisa said didn't mention about the time of Mishka Moshev. This Braisa does, and he says, because first we were talking about that, we were talking only about a Zava. Here we're talking about a Zav as well. Now, both of them are time of Mishka Moshev, but the difference is that if a Zav has only one experience of Ziva, he's only like a Balkeri. A zava is still going to be considered. Is still going to be considered either way. She's the time of Mishka v'Moshav, even if it was only once. So therefore, so now the second Braisa speaks of Mishka v'Moshav, where we're saying that in that both a zav and a zava have that in common. A zav who had multiple zivos, and in this case he had it on the seventh day, and we're saying that it counts to go together with the other ones and makes him a full fledged zav. And the Zava, who only had it one time, both of them are considered, both of them are time of Mishka v'Moshe. Anyway, the point is that we can say the Malafreya is only Dirabon. Maybe Daraisa, in fact, we would say that it's considered a new thing. And the Gemara says, Hochi Nami Mestaber. In fact, it seems logical to understand it that way. Because if you were going to say that Rabbi Yossi means that the Tumah extends retroactively on a Daraisa level, Amai Pturim Melasas Pesach Sheni, then why would they be potter from making Pesach Sheni? After all, you have this guy became a Zav again later on in the afternoon after the Pesach was brought. Fine, but we're saying the Tumah is retroactive to the beginning of the day. Therefore, as of the beginning of the day, he was possible to have the Korban Pesach Shechted on his behalf. So why should we say that he's potter from making Pesach Sheni? It has to be that when we're saying Tumah is retroactive, is only Midrabanan, Midaraisa. We would say that at the time that the Korban Pesach was shechted and the blood was sprinkled, he was Tahor, and he could have eaten the Pesach that evening. The fact that that changes, fine, makes that Midrabanan, the Tumah is retroactive, and it means Daraisa, he's Tumah, and he can't eat the Korban Pesach, but already at least when the Korban Pesach was shechted and the blood sprinkled, he would have still been kosher to eat it at that point, and that kind of situation, a person is potter from Pesach Sheni. So that itself shows, the Gemara says, that Rabbi Yossi means that the Tumah is retroactive, only Dirabon. But the Gemara says that's not a solid proof. La'olam emalach Tumah Daraisa. You could actually say that maybe the retroactive Tumah is Daraisa, but you could say, Tahoim deziva hitiru. Maybe what it is when it comes to the Korban Pesach, we're matter Tumah satahoim of ziva. Tumah satahoim literally means Tumah in the depth. So we're going to talk about it in great detail later on in the Masechta. We have a halacha l'moshe Sinai when it comes to Tumas Mes, that if a person becomes Tomei Mes, where there was no possible way to know, nobody ever knew before that there's a body there, then we say there are certain dinim as far as that, as far as Tumah Vatara, that to a certain extent, we say that there were that the he's not it, he's considered Tomei, he's still Tomei Mess, but there are certain leniencies in it. Halacha Moshe Messina. We're going to learn about that in much more detail later on in our Masechta and in the Sanchs, towards the end of the Masechta. Anyway, so the point is that and then the example of Tumas HaTahorim, for example, would be Tosfos brings an example. Let's say at the time when the Korban Pesach was being shechted, a person was sitting on a rock. And he had no idea that there's a caver underneath it. And later on, after the shechita, they discovered that there's a body over there. And therefore, he's Tomei. So nevertheless, Halacha Moshe Mishinai tells us, even though, of course, objectively, he was Tomei at the time of the shechita of the Korban Pesach, but because it was Tumas HaTahorim and nobody knew about it, therefore he's potter from making Pesach Sheni. The same way, applying that over here, nobody could have known later on in the day, this Zavra is going to become Tomei. At the time when the Korban Pesach was shechted, nobody knew, because as far as they knew, this is already their seventh clean day, this is already their one clean day, and nothing else is going to happen. Therefore, we can say that maybe the same rule of Tumas HaTahorim applies over there, and therefore that's why he's potter from making Pesach Sheni. Doesn't necessarily demonstrate that other than that, that the Tumah being retroactive is Drabbanon. Maybe it is in fact Daraisa, and just the same Torah that says that it's retroactive, the same Halacha Moshe Mishinai says that when it comes to the Korban Pesach, there's an exception. So therefore, we still don't have a solid proof for what Rav is saying. We said that Rav said that you can have one day count as double duty, and we're trying to prove it from Rabbi Yossi, but not necessarily. Maybe Rabbi Yossi is saying that the day counts as one day, it's all one continuous day, and when he becomes Tomei later in the day, retroactively, that Tumah extends to the beginning of the day, but we're saying when it comes to the Korban Pesach, you have a special exception of Tumas HaTahorim, and that saves them from having to make Pesach Sheni. So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Best Hashem, and see who else holds within Rabbi Yossi's opinion like that, which then can justify what Rav was saying.